Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Podcast mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of
Hypecast.
It's the show where we get hyped about stuff and things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I'm your other co-host, David Bell.
And I am the auditor, Jeff May. So I'm glad to be here checking out what exactly we've got going on here on this Hypecast, if this is matching up with all the paperwork you have submitted to me.
It's King, thank you. King of HR is your official title.
The H-Czar.
Oh, welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. I feel welcome. I love being here, love being around here. Just came back from a career day. Very exciting. I went to a local middle school.
I need to know how this started.
Yeah, kind of.
Did
need,
you
like,
contact them? Did they contact you?
A local teacher is a big Mint on Card fan and comes every month. And brings a bunch of people, like he really loves it. So he was like, I'd love for you to come and talk about what you do for a living. And I was like, well, you know, it's not comedy, right? I was like, you know, I walk away with like $30 when I do that show. And I'm like, yeah, I'll talk about being an entertainer, like existing on the internet, and I'll talk to these middle schoolers about how their brains are being destroyed by social media. They're gonna love it.
And how did it go?
It went really interestingly. Their career day was spread out over like a month, and they would have small groups of presenters come in. But they brought in some people like the LA DP, Public Works. They have like an engineer corps, and then there's like a group of those people that's what they do. They do presentations.
Did you have to like present with like, was it like you and then an astronaut? Like, was it?
No. Okay. So these engineers, then me, then a Long Beach police officer.
Wow.
I know.
So I was going to ask if you could get some drugs off these kids, but it sounds like it's bad time.
No,
to do that.
No. This was not a cool middle. I mean, it's a cool middle school. The kids were great.
Right.
I didn't mean to insult the middle school, but like, it's not like a public middle school.
These are lame kids. They don't have any drugs.
But what it really came down, and they were like, and the cop is going last. And I was like, I hope you guys have a good reason for this, because I'm going to blow his ass out of the water as far as presentation is concerned. And sure enough, like I was middle, you know, I was the feature. I should have been headlining because
you should have been headlining.
These guys, they don't know how to talk, especially. Although the police officer did say to the kids, "Stay out of trouble," and I was like, "Oh, that's what RoboCop said to the kids."
He should have leaned into the RoboCop.
He should have produced a knife from his fist.
So basically, they allowed me a 10-minute set to talk about what I do. Where I talked all about like this and what we do. I talked a lot about Tom and Jeff Watch Batman because it's such an accessible thing for kids to understand, and like social media and
but
all
not
that
necessarily to listen to.
No. And as a matter of fact, they were asking what shows, because like they then would come up afterwards to your table, like you'd set up like a merch table basically, but for questions. And so I brought a bunch of stickers and buttons and stuff of like Jeff has cool friends and nerd and I must break you and Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, actually. Spoiler alert, Tom, I printed up some stickers.
Sweet.
And This kid, like the kids would come up and take them, and then they just stick them on their shirts. And I'm like, no, put it on something that you're not going to immediately lose this from, you little bastard. But one kid asked me, he goes, so like, how much Batman have you watched for this podcast? And I was like, well, let's take a look and figure this out together. And so I like, me and this kid both got sad about it. I was like, well, I've been doing
really
this show.
Bring this kid down.
Since 2018, unbroken. So let's say, let's average 50 episodes a year, because who knows what happens. Maybe I miss one or two a year. And I was like, and we did the math. I'm like, here's how much I watch for, and then we both, and I was like, and it comes down to this many hours. And the kid's like, like the kid, he looks like he like went to war and just
kid's
realized
like,
what had happened.
I gotta go, man. Like I gotta go study.
He's like, I need a cigarette. Yeah. And I was like, that's right, kid. Stay in school.
The gray streak in his hair when he walks away from you.
That's amazing.
It was so funny. And like the kids, they're like, at first they're like, what a cool job. And I'm like, so, you know, for a hour long podcast, I have to work 6 to 7 hours to do that. Like, that doesn't sound fun. I'm like, sometimes it isn't.
It feels like it's like somewhat your duty to be like, stay away, kids.
Kind of.
Stay away.
Yeah, I was like, if you can't be self-motivated and you can't stick on your own schedule, it's fine. But regardless, like I weirdly promoted Tom and Jeff Watch Batman to a group of middle schoolers.
I mean, you handed out stickers. That explains.
We got an influx of new patrons, and they're all like Roblox accounts all, and shit like that. All, so that explains it. Yeah,
it's all Twitch accounts that signed up.
Yeah. If you're what are we doing? Hypecast, right? If you're a middle schooler, listen to this. I don't know what to tell you, man. You're cool, I guess, but also don't. You know,
that was
maybe don't.
That was the thing with unpopular opinion. Is that there were people that were like, I've been listening to this since I was in middle school. And then be like, why?
Right. I guess, no, I mean, it's cool that I like the idea that the young like me and think I'm hip, but I just don't want to know. I don't want to know if any middle schoolers are listening.
You don't want to find out if you have Riz.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I know I do. I already know what that is. I already know that I do.
Yeah, I don't know what Riz is. I think I know what drip is.
Oh, I have drip.
Yeah, I don't think I do.
You mean like I'm moist, right? Like I'm constantly moist.
No, that's a different thing. No, that's it's a very different thing. I think that means
just
you
sweaty.
Have the glizzy.
Oh, okay. I'm glizzed to shit then.
I don't.
Yeah. You're like a cool glass. A lot of condensation.
Drippy like a, Dave is like what they call me.
A frosty Arnold Palmer on a hot August afternoon.
Mint julep.
You are a nice frozen mint julep here on the patio.
This can just be the podcast, right?
Yeah, we don't need to talk about any of the trailers.
Yeah. Well, we need Jeff to plug your things. Where people can find you.
Tell him your plugs.
Okay, so the easiest thing to say is I do a lot of podcasts. Some of them are with people that are on the show, on this network. I do Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, obviously, with Tom. I
don't believe that's true.
I would assume 90% of the people listening to this podcast do know that. Your other 10%, I don't know. Sorry, you hate me. I do a lot of stuff with Adam Todd Brown on the You Don't Even Like podcast network, such as You Don't Even Like Sports Live every Wednesday at 4, blah, blah. I'm in business for myself. Patreon.com/JeffMay gets you early access to uncensored episodes of Jeff Has Cool Friends, my interview podcast, Nerd with Dre Alvarez, and Ugg Fine with Kim Kral. I also open packs of trading cards every Wednesday afternoon on my YouTube account, and it is the most fun thing that I do.
It is pretty sweet, yeah.
I'm like genuinely surprised Tom hasn't started doing it.
I need to.
Tom, it's so fun.
It's a good way to like justify a hobby, right? Like a hobby that, like, I was thinking of, I love scratch tickets. I love degenerate gambling.
And I was like, yourself doing scratch.
People,
I bet there's
do
a huge, I bet people there is a TikToks. Massive market for that.
I already saw people do TikToks of them scratching scratch tickets. And it was like, what a good way to be a loser and a winner. I guess just a loser twice, but like you know, if you actually make money scratching tickets that are losers, then it's like that's a tax write-off suddenly, right? You can write off.
Losers are also a tax write-off anyways.
That's So everybody look out for that.
You can offset your the taxable winnings with your losings, with your losses.
Really?
So if you win like $5,000, they'll tax you on it. That's like a gambling tax. But if you then show like, oh well, I also lost $5,000.
This is great advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
I also love scratch tickets, by the way.
This is the kind of wisdom that you were passing on to the kids at Career Day, right?
One time my dad hit the daily number, the Massachusetts daily number. My dad hit it twice in a row.
Damn.
It was the same number 2 days in a row, and it was the one he picks. That's so incredible. He won like, you know, it was like something like $3,000 or something like that or whatever. And for Christmas that year, I just got him $3,000 of losing scratch tickets in a box.
Oh, man. We should do scratch tickets. We should go out and do some scratches outside of 7-Eleven.
Absolutely do scratch tickets.
We should. Yeah. But you know what we should do first is thank some producers.
Right. God damn. I keep forgetting what we're doing.
Brought to you by the LA California Lottery.
All right. Big old sloppy thank you to at Nerd Numbers. Thank you very much.
Oh, great.
Thank you to Zero Charisma.
Thank you.
Thank you to A Bag Full of Bags.
Thank you.
Thank you to Aaron Burser. Thank you to AJ.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andrew. Jeff deserves more hype. McGuire.
Thank you.
Thank you to Andrew. How's the ending story? Let's wrap it up already. Does he mean like the world?
Like the ending story.
Thank you to Asking Seven. Thank you, Asking Seven.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, like the never ending story, the ending story.
Right.
It's time to cut the shit. I agree. I agree with Andrew. thank you to Bob Grenville.
Thank you.
Thank you to Bootler Bootlison.
Thank you.
Thank you to Brian, who Tom knows.
Thank you.
Thank you to Broccoli Loves the Meat Millie.
Thank you.
Thank you to Brina Wants You to Drink Water, Hit the Gym, and Do the Ska, because they loves y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you to Chester's Prophet.
Thank you.
Thank you to Christopher Robert Spartz, Esquire.
Thank you.
And thank you to Dan Hackroyd.
Thank you.
Man,
okay.
We have some delicious trailers today.
We're packed to the gills with fucking
We're stuffed.
Hype.
We're stuffed to the gullet, Dave.
Yeah, and we're starting with Bad Boys Ride or Die. This is from the directors of the last Bad Boys.
Correct.
In case you're wondering. This is the fourth Bad Boys, right? Yeah, the fourth.
No, this will be the... Oh, yeah, you're right, fourth.
Yeah, there's Bad Boys, Bad Boys 2, and then Live Free or Bad Boys.
Live Free or Bad Boys.
Yeah.
I think it's Bad Boys. This is Bad Boys Tokyo Drift, right?
Yeah.
Because this is the final... I was going to say Final Fantasy, but this is some Fast and Furious ass... Bad Boys stuff when you see him in the plane.
Oh yeah.
It's like, oh, you guys are just doing a Fast and Furious. It's smart.
I mean, it makes me realize like I think Bad Boys 2 is a Fast and the Furious before Fast and Furious.
It kind of is, yeah.
A little bit.
We should be on Bad Boys 10. Like that my biggest complaint of this series is like you're taking way too long. I get it. One of you is Will Smith, but that's not an excuse.
Yeah, I think Martin Lawrence agrees with you that you should be on Bad Boys 10.
Yes. I can't wait. I am unapologetically a fan of every single Bad Boys film, including the third one.
Yeah, I actually the third one was a pleasant surprise. I was not expecting it to be as fun as it was.
Over the top action is always fun. Like even when it's just like when you're like this is just so over the top that it's a bit offensive, it's still very fun.
Yes. I really like the dynamic between Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. Although I will say, like, remember when Will Smith was supposed to be like the hotshot rich kid?
Yeah.
And now he's like 50. And I don't know. It's like, oh, look at that rich boy over there. And it's like, I mean, you're both just rich adults.
Right. Like, yeah.
It's weird.
Well, was he, like, was he rich
we're all just
or was
very
he just, like,
wealthy.
Pretty boy bachelor with a.
No, he was a rich
no, he was
kid.
He specifically was rich.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah,
he had,
that's
like,
why he has fancy cars.
It's been a while.
Trust fund and stuff. And it was the source of contempt from some of his fellow officers.
All right. Now, again, Martin Lawrence, for some reason, for a cop salary, he also lived great.
Oh, yeah. His
Miami.
House in Bad Boy 2 is palatial.
Yeah.
I love that they randied Joe Pantoliano.
I know. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
They randied him.
They clearly killed him, right?
My bad boys. I got shot.
You're my bad boys. Now clear
You're
my name.
Bad boys.
That this is a real line Joey Pants says into the camera is, "You're my bad boys." And it seems like there's an edit in there, but the way they make it is he has a sentence, and that sentence is, "You're my bad boys. Now clear my name."
It's so good.
And man, it's such a beautifully sloppy thing to put in the trailer, and I'm here for it. I'm so for it.
Yeah.
I'm a little sad that they killed off Joey Pants, although it was kind of a matter of time, because whenever they needed the moment where they get, say, like, shit just got real, Joey Pants was always kind of in danger because they love him. You know, he was always like their cop daddy. So it was only a matter of time. Yeah, father cop. So when they first refer to him, I thought, like, oh, could they not get him? Because they show like a picture of him. And it seems like they could get him for an afternoon. That's the vibe I'm getting here.
I don't know. I think he's too busy
to be in Bad Boys 4.
Yeah, no, probably, I don't think that's it.
I think the reality is he's probably like, what the fuck, man? Put me back in the movie. They're like, ah.
Right.
Yeah, we can put you on a QuickTime video.
He's one of my favorite parts of all the Bad Boys. So I don't know. It just feels like it's both makes sense to like do this. I love that they're in The Fugitive, basically, where the bad boys are on the run. They're bad boys.
Indeed.
They're bad boys. They're
finally too bad.
All the president, the bad boys have gone bad. Wait.
But it saddens me that if they make a 5, Joey Pants won't be in it.
Probably
like that,
not, unless they'll find another way to...
He'll be a ghost.
His ghost is there.
They better
yeah.
bring him back.
He'll be he'll be flashing back.
I love that in his Randy I'm dead tape, he's still just a hothead. I love it. I love it so
much.
He's
just so pissed he's dead.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just Joey Pants being like mad that he got killed off.
Yeah.
I'm going to film a will, but I'm going to be like, if you can read this, that means they got me. And like, no matter how I die, and I'm just going to be like, I need you to avenge me.
You have to end it with, "You're my bad boys.
You're my bad boys. Now clear my name." I would do that.
Oh my God.
I would 1,000% do that.
Such a good idea. Such a good idea.
And you have to start it like a Kickstarter project. Like, you have to be looking off to the side. You go, "Oh, I didn't see you there.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome to my living will.
We're funding my assets."
Oh man. I can't fucking wait. I hope they reveal that he's not actually dead. I'm really like, I'm genuinely like upset that
would
he's
be
dead.
That would because it.
I don't give a fuck, Tom. I don't care. I don't care.
It worked because it worked so well in the last movie. It was like, oh, of course, and then it's like, that makes sense, and it worked for the story, and it would just, they needed something. It starts with Will Smith getting shot. Remember? Like, it's...
Yeah, yeah, I remember. Man, it was hardcore.
Like, that one's pretty sweet, honestly.
It really has to suck. Like, I understand, like, a lot of actors love having their characters die. Like, they're just like, yeah, this is a really fun thing. But when you're, like, a part of, like, this, like, really high money-making thing, it's really going to be just like, this is costing me, like, $3 million that you put in the script.
I always imagine being an actor on like Game of Thrones or The Sopranos, like where it's like being on the Hunger Game. Yeah, you just have no idea. You're like, I'm either here for the whole show or I'm dead tomorrow.
Dude,
I have no idea.
When I was hosting a panel for the kid that played Carl on The Walking Dead.
Coral.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, I didn't know this was happening until I got the script.
Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah, they don't tell him.
And like, all these people had Walking Dead questions, and you could tell that he's like, yeah, it was a really important part of my life, but you know, it's a little sour now.
Yeah. It's so weird because it's like, you're fired, but also you have to act out your death before you leave.
You have to do a dramatic reenactment of you getting fired.
Of you losing your job.
Yeah. What a weird,
and especially
career.
When it's like, it's nothing personal, like when they mean it, like it's not really that personal, it's just, we have to ruin your life in order to move this story on a guy that's leaving the show next season.
I feel like it's even worse than that. Sometimes they're like, everybody loves your character so much, you're doing such a good job, that we want to kill you to make people mad, to like give them something to be mad about.
Yeah.
Like, you can do such a good job.
That's
that they
good
kill
TV.
You. Yeah. Should we talk about speaking of good TV?
Yeah,
yeah, potentially.
The Penguin.
Oh man, there's a little penguin hidden in the G.
They put a penguin in the G.
Little penguin hidden in there.
Speaking of the Sopranos, this is basically the Sopranos. It seems like
it looks like the Sopranos with Colin Farrell's penguin. It looks incredible.
That's all I want. Yeah,
I can't fathom what the show is going to be. So I'm so excited to watch it.
We might have to, when this show comes out, we might have to suspend whatever we're watching to do.
Yeah.
To do this as week.
As it releases. Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Yeah, like, let's do it. You heard it here first.
That's going to be so much work, but.
Do it.
To be fair, it's probably also going to make us more money.
It might.
It's a good idea. It's smart.
It was your suggestion.
Yes. No. I'm standing up and saying, yeah, we kind of have to do it. It's like when the Snyder Cut came out and we're like, all right,
yep,
here's this month.
This is it's just Colin Farrell doing Robert De Niro. Like, I can't be angry at this. It's such a weird spinoff. I think people fell in love with Colin Farrell's performance. They're like, can we make a TV show? I assume Warner Brothers was like, can we make a TV show? And they're like, absolutely we can. Can it be just the Sopranos but the Penguin? I thought I had read
that Matt Reeves pitched this specifically.
Yes. Well,
oh, okay, good.
It seems to me too, because like Peacemaker really did show what happens when a really great director writes a television show with the characters that they sculpted. Because, you know, James Gunn's version of Peacemaker is a very unique creation, right? It's not the Peacemaker from the comics. It's
right.
So, and that's sort of taken over as the character, and the Peacemaker was fucking great. It was amazing. Really fun. And so like, this is like, yeah, like prestige television version of that. And I am,
this is also like, yeah, this is, when you think about it in retrospect, like if you told me as a child they would be making a gritty Penguin show, I would be like, that sounds like the stupidest thing ever. But when you think about it, like I'm not saying Batman's not awesome, but most people watch, like whenever there's a new Batman movie, the big question is like, who are the villains who's going to play them?
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun to watch an interpretation, especially the more gritty or more, you know, like the more pronounced the world is, people are more excited. That's all to say that it's like, why hadn't they made TV shows about the Penguin or the Joker even, or like any of these villains? Because, and then why not make them in the style of that villain? Meaning that the Penguin's a mobster. Don't make like a silly
kid
show. Make an actual mob show, so, you know?
I think a Joker series would suck ass. I think it's not something
I want.
I don't want, like, that narrative should be 2 hours total. A Joker thing. Now, with the Penguin, though, what's I think really important is that he's the biggest kind of like mainstream Batman villain that's a joke.
Right.
That like nobody cares. Everybody's like, the Penguin, how am I ever supposed to be intimidated by this character?
And I mean, it's been everything from he's a literal penguin person.
Yes.
To he's just a mobster called the Penguin, guys. Like, why are we making him a literal penguin?
Yeah. And it's like, I think they said that the reason that they call him the Penguin is because he has like a walking issue. Because they called him Gimp in the movie, and he has got like that, he's got that brace on his leg, which probably causes him to hobble a little bit. And then to be like, okay, now let's see what he can do when he's really unhinged and show like the gritty ugliness of what a character like the Penguin could do. Like, that's awesome.
It is awesome. I agree about the Joker, but you know what I mean, where it's like, if they should make like, they could make a Mr. Freeze show and make it like a weird like sci-fi mad scientist show. Like, we've seen so many shows with like anti-heroes now that we kind of know how to do it.
Tom would know that this is what I want, because I've talked about this a lot, Dave, but I think the best version of one of these shows would be a Bates Motel style show, but with the ventriloquist.
That would be great.
I think the ventriloquist is the most interesting Batman villain.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I remember in the cartoons, he was awesome. He was chilling.
They really need to get him into a movie or something.
Like that
character. Or a show, like you're talking about.
A character that's that imprisoned by their own brain. And is basically like, nobody's ever been held hostage by their brain as a character. And the tragedy of that, he's like a more interesting Two-Face.
Right.
And like everyone and like, loves Two-Face. And I'm like, the ventriloquist, I know he's got the dummy there. But when you think about like the absolutely terrifying repercussions of that, think about Saw. Like,
right.
Like you could do so much with the ventriloquist.
They should make Saw versus Scarface.
Scarface versus Saw. We seem to lose to Saws a lot, actually.
One of his Achilles heel.
There's definitely a darkness in being a ventriloquist that like society has picked up on of like that career. Like it can only end with a life of crime and murder.
Or being I assume the one ventriloquist who really made it and just or did, being like, the vaguely one. Racist puppets.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. One or the other. Both are sinister.
I remember I was walking around Magnolia and Burbank and there were two women walking in front of me and they each had like from a show, Jeff Dunham hoodies, and they were different hoodies. So they were just like walking around with like concert
the real fans,
Jeff
yeah.
Dunham, like next damn. To each other, and I was like, "Damn, y'all are badass."
Yeah, they followed the tour from city to city that year.
Like following like the dead selling grilled cheeses by their fucking van.
Going back to Penguin though, now I'm realizing that also. Batman might have a cameo in this.
He might.
And there's just something funny of like a Sopranos / Breaking Bad show that also every now and then there's a Batman.
There's Batman.
Because I'm going to forget. Like I might, watching this, unless he's in it a lot, I'm going to forget that Batman is going to be a problem for, it's just such a silly problem to be in a mobster crime movie.
It's such a surprisingly, because there are two ways that Batman will show up surprisingly. And it's either through this or in like when the first Suicide Squad movie came out and they're like, oh, I can't believe they actually got Batman for this.
Right.
Like those are the two options at that point in time.
There's also they could just do like, here's Batman from afar. Like here's Batman. It's Robert Pattinson. Don't worry about it. I'm sure it's Robert Pattinson. Just don't. He's in the dark. It's from afar.
He's on vacation.
He's
Batman's on vacation.
You see him holding up like a tanning, one of those reflective tanning things.
Should we talk about this next one?
Yeah.
The dead don't hurt. Viggo.
Man, this is a dad ass movie.
I don't know because dads don't love the French as much as you'd think.
Yeah, he is the French.
It's true.
It's some sort of Frenchman who goes into the Western times, and then he has to fight the Civil War. And
not
then,
like in a time machine or anything. He lives there.
It's a modern Frenchman.
Well, he comes here from France. He comes there from
Sacre
France.
Bleu.
He meets a woman, and then that woman is... She's like assaulted, and then it's like revenge, I assume. It is real, like... It feels like Viggo is one of those actors where, like, yeah, he would... get old and do westerns. Like I feel like at a certain age, action guys are like time for westerns.
He's done
you know?
Several.
Yeah, he did Appaloosa. Yeah. Viggo is just like good guy Kevin Costner, right?
Yeah.
Like
he's good.
Yeah, I'll co-sign that.
Viggo Mortensen is the kind of guy that brings a book to a bar, but not for attention.
Right. I can see that.
He also wrote this and directed.
He did bring a sword to a bar, famously. Yeah. Right?
I get it.
No, the Costner, the fact that he wrote and directed it is also feels very Costner.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he did bring a sword to
No, I mean anyway, I meant like during when they were filming Lord of the Rings, he walked into town with his sword and the police were called.
There's also a scene in Lord of the Rings.
There is. Yeah, I wasn't actually thinking about that.
He brought a pipe to a bar.
But let's say that I was.
Yeah. I just can't help but like westerns. I feel like they're always going to make westerns whether or not people want them. And don't get me wrong, I like a good western.
Yeah.
But I realize like they're fairly cheap to make. It's just like let's go in the desert, and then the idea of like an old cowboy we love. And it's like one of the few like old action roles, especially since like the guns are fundamentally slower. Like it's just a slower action.
Yeah.
So I feel like
pace.
you can be Jeff Bridges just limping around, just drunk.
He is in this. Wasn't that him?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I was thinking
but he plays Obadiah Stane. So
I thought I briefly saw him in one shot, but maybe not. Never mind.
Either way, this is fascinating because I'm like, this looks good, but like I don't know what it is about his French accent, but I'm like, but also,
cool it. Like, cool God, it. Yeah. Go.
He didn't have to be French. I have to fight. He actually says he has to go. It's not a fight for the country. It's a fight against slavery. And I'm just like, oh, because your guy's a good guy.
That's right.
There is
slavery.
Oh man, that's frustrating. Sorry, the Jason Clark's in this, but not Jason Clark. It's a different Jason Clark.
That shouldn't be allowed.
I said change your name, man. But Danny Houston. Why did I say that like a weirdo? He's in this like clearly as the villain, right? Also, Garrett Dillahunt is also like legally required to play a Western villain.
And he just shows up. If you start building a Western set, he will appear.
He's the Beetlejuice of Westerns.
There's a shoeless Joe in a cowboy hat. This particular field of dreams.
Yeah,
that's a Costner callback too. I like it.
Hell yeah.
Let's pretend I was thinking about that too.
There's a lot of us pretending Tom intended one thing.
We're doing a lot of make-believe today.
There's a lot of accidental synchronicity coming out of your mouth today, and I like it.
Any other thoughts on this?
It looks fine and also a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
I agree.
I was totally not interested until it takes an Unforgiven turn in the second half of the trailer, and I realized that one of the pull quotes that they show does mention Unforgiven, so I'm kind of primed for it. But like, it really does start to get interesting in the second half and look like it is going to be kind of dark and intense in that way. And I do love a good Unforgiven, man. I like Western deconstructions. So
I might watch this too, but it's kind of like how like all romantic comedies all feel the same after a while. Like all Westerns, it's like old guy. He goes like he's so good, right? He's like, I hate slavery. I'm gonna go fight in the war.
No, he says I ate slavery. I'm going to fight in the war.
You ate it,
and then oh no, his wife. And it just feels like I'm gonna. This is one that's gonna like bleed into a bunch of other Westerns for me.
This is like not to say anything negative, but like Westerns are not always memorable. Like when you think about Westerns, you think about like The Unforgiven, The Quick and the Dead, and that's pretty much it over the past 30 years. Like even though there are great ones, 3:10 to Yuma, there are good ones, but like they've absorbed into the collective consciousness.
True Grit, I would call out, but yeah.
Yeah, True Grit again, but that's also a remake, so it's like, you know, that gets a little bit of a bump there. I do love, because Tom, you mentioned the pull quotes. One of my favorite things is that one of the pull quotes is like, John Ford would love this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
That's a pull quote where I'm like, I wonder if that was for a bad review.
Deadline. Yes.
Okay, that's actually a thing. There, one of the reviews could be taken sarcastically, and I forget which one it is.
Yeah. They
very often do that, yeah.
Yeah. Should we talk about this next one?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Under the Bridge. This is a mini series, so it's not a show. It's a limited series. With Lily Gladstone, it is a detective show.
Looks like it has real True Detective energy.
Yeah, it makes me say like, oh, just put her in True Detective. This is
But then also like cult or possibly superpowered children, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on in this.
Yeah, the end of this makes it seem like Mean Girls of the Corn.
It does.
But the corn is a bridge.
Yes.
And also calling something under the bridge having Anthony Kiedis involved in any way. Which is important to keep Anthony Kiedis away from young girls.
That's true. They probably had to grapple with that. Like, he probably kept showing up on set.
Can't stop addicted to the kid thing.
You get the new, I mean, Lily Gladstone's been in a bunch of things, don't get me wrong, but she got a lot of buzz, and this is like that post-Oscar buzz moment where they start getting a bunch of roles, right? I want to point out, have you watched the interviews with her and Leo?
No. Some of them, a little bit of them, yeah.
She's very funny in those interviews, and I'm like, why isn't she in a comedy? Like, she has that permanent sarcastic voice, that like Gen X dry, like delivery of things, and it's like she would be fucking killer in a comedy. I don't know. I want that for her.
It might be one of those scenarios where somebody has gotten a very good eye on them being a prestige dramatic actor. And if they jump into comedy outside of SNL, it might damage their
right.
It might damage their booking.
I just think so. I'm always worried about post awards.
I love that that's what you were thinking about when you were watching this trailer, by the way. Anyway,
well, no, because you see this a lot.
Man,
right?
I put some jokes in here.
An actor, well, when an actor like does something that's a lot of awards, and then they sort of fade away right mm-hmm. after.
Yeah,
like they get a few offers. And like, I mean, listen, she'll be fine. But I feel like do something like wildly different, you know, like do like a weird, do a Farley Brothers comedy. Who gives a shit? Like, just like, you know, do something
do
to
a
really
Ricky
throw people
Stenicki.
Off. But yeah, do a Ricky Stenicki. She should have been Ricky Stenicki.
I mean, other than Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear,
yeah,
a lot of dramatic actors pulling out of those.
I mean, Jim Carrey. He did Farley Brothers.
Yeah, but he did it pretty early. And he also was not just a dramatic actor. He had done like one drama and it was a dramedy at that point in time.
Yeah,
like,
that's fair.
It is one of those things where it's like, I mean, a good example actually is, and oh my God, I can't, oh, Bryan Cranston.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston started in comedy and children's television.
Yeah, Seinfeld and Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah. And, you know, Power Rangers. But so,
oh, yeah.
And then, you know, Breaking Bad hits, and it's been all drama really ever since, except for occasional sketches.
Yeah.
And that James Franco movie.
Oh, also, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, that just happens. It's why you don't see like Leo in them. And the other part of that is it's why Tom Cruise showing up in Tropic Thunder was such a huge deal.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was really calculated.
You know,
well, yeah, that was in the middle of his
Katie Holmes jumping on Oprah's couch sort of meltdown.
If that's what it takes to get that performance in that movie, like let's have a weird meltdown all the time for Tom.
Yeah, let's have him do this every 15 years or so.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about this?
I'll probably watch it just because I love mystery limited series. So,
oh yeah, this is my shit.
This is one of my catnips.
Yeah,
so definitely.
It has Yellow Jackets energy to it. Like,
yeah,
some mystery.
Well, let's talk about The Veil. This is Elizabeth Moss. This is from one of at least some of the episodes were written by the writer of Serenity. So you remember
the
Serenity?
Boat movie? The movie?
The boat movie. Yeah, let's call it a boat movie.
For a second,
movie.
I was
let's
like,
call it the boat movie.
I was going to be like,
yeah.
Joss Whedon?
No.
That would be how they would say it now.
No. The better
Joss
Serenity.
They'd be like, from the writer of Buffy the Vampire.
Yeah. No, that was a writer-director of Serenity, by the way. That movie was written and directed. That was a work of passion. That was a labor of
Oscar
love.
Oscar-nominated screenwriter, by the way.
Oh, nice.
I think we found that out when we were talking about that movie.
I got to watch Serenity again.
We should. We should do that. But this is the
Elizabeth
Veil.
Moss as a spy. She's spying around Europe, just murdering people.
I like that the trailer uses the slowed-down version of that song from the Empire Records soundtrack.
Do they?
No, never met a girl like you before.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, this is the first time we've seen this. This is very exciting. I want to see if we're going to get this in the future, but a slowed down, creepier version of a popular song in a trailer. This is, I think, the first time we've ever seen it.
It's a pretty cool idea.
Time.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool
and
idea.
It's a cool.
You know,
I hope they keep
hopefully
it up.
They don't overdo it, but I do hope that it continues.
Yeah. I love Elizabeth Moss's taste. So I want to see this just based on that. Like she doesn't always do weird stuff, but like she tends to do, like when she's in something, I tend to like it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Fascinating personality.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Handmaid's Tale, but
it's very good. And she just has the face of someone who is driven to murder. Like that is kind of most of her role. Her role is mostly a woman who can't get a fucking break from men. So it's nice watching her not in that role here. It looks like she's just having a time of her life murdering people.
She has ass kicking face. She does. She has like she has the kind of face where like she'll kick the shit out of you on the bus if you look at her wrong. And like that absolutely is great. Like that's something really great about her. In everything you see, she has this like resting disgust face.
It's almost like resting Billy Idol sneer.
Right. Yes. Again, it's like I'm being driven to murder. Like she has this face of someone, and most of her roles again are like terrible men around her.
Yeah.
I mean, even
just
the movies that weren't about that.
Surrounded by monsters.
Right. Like Get Him to the Greek is now that.
Oh my God! It's just in a sea of monsters.
Yeah. So it's just retrospectively the old movies she's in.
Yeah. She looks like she'll drive an elbow into your temple. Like in a very cool way.
She's terrifying in a cool way, yeah. Like she looks like she would fuck you up physically, but then also like get you fired and like steal your identity. Like I don't know, it's good. She has spy face. It's good spy face. Like
I gotta say though, I'm not sure about her. I'm not sure about her British accent in this trailer.
Neither am I. But I'm not gonna say that to her. I'm terrified of her.
Right.
I bet
maybe that's not her real British accent, like because the character is British, but she's also a British spy. So maybe she's doing like a deliberately bad British accent because she's that good of a spy.
I actually like really love the idea that she was married to Fred Armisen. Like there's this piece of information with like a guy who is famously one of the best people alive doing bits. Like his bits are just so good.
Yeah,
that to and like she seems so serious and like famously she is a member of the Church of Scientology and she does all these things that are just she's a very serious and accomplished actor to like and Fred Armisen, who's one of the most talented people in the world but is also just so silly, is just so wonderful to me.
Yeah.
Like the Mad Men lady was married to one of the creators of Documentary Now.
That is really weird.
Which is like the most insane passion project I can possibly imagine, and it's so good.
I didn't realize they were together for they were for a few years.
Yeah, it was like 7 or 8 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her character's name, by the way, is Imogen Salter. So
oh yeah, hell yeah.
It is the writer of Serenity. that all checks out. What a fucking... For a second, I was like, is this related to that... Remember Salt? That other spy movie?
Yeah. Ooh, Salt.
Yeah, it's not related to that, but like... I don't know why there's more than one
Salt
spy
is Angelina
now with
Jolie,
Salt
right?
name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I believe her name is also Salt related. Let me look it up.
It's literally Salt.
Yeah, Evelyn Salt.
Yeah.
Who allowed that to happen?
I don't know, man.
Why?
The writer and director of Serenity.
Yeah.
He certainly had a hand in it. So that's undeniable.
Yeah, I mean, so apparently Salt was written by the writer of Ultraviolet and Equilibrium.
Get out of town. The Ultraviolet writer wrote Salt? No.
Yeah. He also wrote The Beekeeper, which now I have to see. I have to see that.
Did he write absolutely have too, to see or did he somehow... The Beekeeper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Beekeeper was like a surprising smash.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. And it's one of those where I'm like, I need this to happen soon.
I saw a video recently where they were talking about how The Beekeeper was at one point in time the most successful movie of 2024.
Amazing.
The movies are back, man. The movies are back.
I saw Immaculate last night.
Oh, no spoilies.
Not great.
No spoilies.
Boy, I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just elevated horror.
No spoilies.
Is the dumbest phrase I've ever heard in my life.
Agreed. Well, not the dumbest phrase. I've heard worse.
Well, I mean, but I was just watching. I was like, was I supposed to like this? Sorry.
Yes,
I don't want to spoil it for you. It's just
like.
Don't watch. It's short. That's great.
I like short. I watch it all, baby. I do realize you can watch Imaginary. It's 3 weeks from theatrical run. It's already on streaming. So I'm going to have to... I have a bunch of shit I gotta get through. I haven't watched Five Nights at Freddy's. I haven't watched Imaginary, which now I can. I haven't watched Night Swim. I got to watch this crap horror.
Yeah,
there's
so
much crap horror I
gotta watch. A lot of bullshit's piling up, man. We got to get to the bullshit. We'll watch a few of them on Friday.
I was
going to
say, there are movie nights. Well, if you head on over to the Gamefully Unemployed's Discord and you sign up for the $10 tier, you can, of course, engage in movie nights with the members and cast of Gamefully Unemployed, in which we
this is true. Yeah, we'll talk about it. I also like some of these. I just want to watch silently.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I want to just like watch Immaculate and Serenity. Not Serenity.
I watched
Imaginary.
What's the fucking the jar? Girl in the Jar. It Lives Inside. I watched that. That was decent. That was fun. Kind of forgettable, but it was fun. You guys remember that one?
No.
Jar?
Vaguely.
Jar Girl?
Vaguely, yeah.
Girl's got a jar.
Never known a jar.
Breaks the jar.
Like
there's a
you.
Demon in the jar. Whoa. It Lives Inside.
Yes. Yes. Now about... I remember it. Yes.
There you go. Baby Reindeer. This is about. This is a mini. This is an, also a mini series about a stand up comedian who gets a stalker who's like a crazy lady. Usually the roles are reversed, right? Just talking to Hannah about this, being a stand up comedian. But it's a. It's a stand-up stalker, and then he's gonna murder her.
I'm gonna go out and say that in the world of stand-up comedy, the roles aren't as reversed as you think. They're actually surprisingly even.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Even when I said that, I'm like, I bet that's wrong.
No, I mean, that's just Hannah's perspective. Is that's a woman, and they deal with nightmare shit from men all the time. Being front-facing in stand-up comedy, it actually is a weird equalizer, but also male comedians are mostly garbage anyway.
So, I mean, it's all like, yeah,
like
it's a hell of a career, right? It's a,
it is. It's
know,
also like,
you guys know more than
it's
me.
Important to note that it's a middling comedian.
Yeah, he's not great.
He's right. Not like a famous comedian. He's like a guy who's working on an up and comer. He's not Adam Sandler in Funny People. He's Seth Rogen in Funny People. He's like trying to make it work. And watching this, like, there's some parts of it that were like triggering watching.
And yeah, I imagine
I've had scenarios like this. I've had people that I've had to pull aside and be like, you cannot be this person.
Oh yeah, I've known multiple people who've dealt with stuff like this to the point that it's like, yeah, when I watched this trial, I was like, I bet this hits Jeff personally. I bet it's like different for anybody who's a stand-up comedian to watch something like this and go like, this is too real. This is way too real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I even wrote in the notes, I'm going to try very hard not to make this into the entire podcast. Like,
yeah.
And it is, I think I also think that you Cracked Boys dealt with stuff like this a lot. It's just that by existing almost solely on the internet with less personal appearances makes it keeps the buffer of the internet a little bit further.
Right.
But like, yeah. I tell people on the internet, hey, you can come to Blast from the Past on Magnolia in Burbank every second Friday and you can see my face.
Yep. No protective barrier. I'm going to just be in this room.
I'm not even going to be on a stage. You're going to be in a chair 8 feet from me. And so like, it's one of those scenarios where like it is jarring when, and it's, you know, Greg Giraldo has a great bit about, I mean, for his, it was about, you know, cleavage and stuff, but it's like when you are performing or when you put yourself out there, like there's no, it's not a sniper rifle. It's not a smart bomb. It is a dirty explosion. And you are everybody you want to see that everybody's going to see you. It doesn't matter if you don't want them to. And so sometimes you get attention pulled from people that aren't great or healthy or not murderers.
Right. I also think fundamentally stand-up comedy is you're putting very personal things about yourself out there and then trivializing them for comedy's sake. So you're kind of dehumanizing yourself, being like, this, I'm making a joke of my life for you. And therefore, then when people meet you, they forget that, like, I imagine it's easy for them to forget that you are a human being.
I don't know if you guys ever have the parasocial relationship boil out in a negative way, but like, for me, a lot of it is the overfamiliarity from people, because especially because when you try to make
about you,
we try to make ourselves as accessible as possible, because that is what we're here to do. Like, we're here to not just sit up top a throne and create content and be like, let the peasants listen to it. You know, like we interact on movie nights, right? Like somebody that's a listener in the comments says something, we'll oftentimes address it out loud.
For sure.
And that's really great. Sometimes the overfamiliarity is like, people would be like, yeah, that's because Jeff's a huge fucking piece of shit, right? Get it? And I'm like, you don't. You're not Adam. You can't. You don't have right. that relationship with me. You can tell me that you like me, but don't be rude because my friend is performatively rude on a podcast.
Right. I mean, I've been lucky about this sort of stuff. Like, I think it always depends. Like, I always think, how bad must it be for like those right wing grifters, like those people who like cultivate. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't feel bad for these people.
Thinking, oh,
but like
how those hard it is for those grifters,
the people who just dog whistle and then they get Nazis. And like, you see it now on Twitter, like some of these people having to grapple with all the Nazis they cultivated. But like, to a lesser extent, sorry, that was a bad example, to be honest, because I don't feel bad for those people. But like, comedians who their thing is like insult comedy, or like shit where it's like you're doing stuff that's like in a controlled environment mean, but it's in a controlled environment that then when you step out of that, people don't realize that, like the Jackass people, like how many Jackass people have been like kicked in the balls on the street.
I think the Beastie Boys are a great example of that, where they canceled Fight for Your Right to Party and most of that album because they were being ironic and their fans didn't get it.
Right.
And they were like, well, fuck this. Like, they never performed Fight for Your Right in concert after, like, and it took like a year. And then they were like, well, that song's fucking done. We're not doing this because
right.
we were making fun of frat boys and frat boys loved it. And that's not who we want in our concerts. I think it is also important to say that in our worlds, especially in comedy and in podcasting, that your audience actually does warp you. And when you look at certain podcasters that are very big and you see how they've twisted and become more conspiracy theorist or more right winger and stuff. And a lot of that has to do with like what their comments are saying,
right?
They're doing the grift. Theo Vaughn is Joe Rogan. They have a grift.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I've been stalked mm-hmm. by comedy
well,
fans.
Listen, I'm sorry about that.
It's fine.
Jeff. It was a misunderstanding. I
said it's fine.
I was worried about you. I was just worried about you.
No, but like, I've had similar
thing is,
situations.
Is I made these cookies for you.
Yeah, they're for you, Dan. but like, and it is also the big difference, Dave, about what you talked about earlier. What Hannah brought up is, I'm a little bit more physically able to defend myself from a stalker.
Right.
Like, I have no fear of a stalker because what. What damage? What are they going to do? What are you going to do? Stab me?
Right.
Man,
exactly.
Getting stabbed. Anyway, this looks great.
That's kind of what this whole thing is about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's worth looking at or checking this trailer out if that interests you, that dynamic. You
also,
know?
Just the movie looks nuts, like in a good, fun way. Like, this
the
looks like a weird
looks
movie and a weird version of this kind of like Fatal Attraction type premise. This looks fun.
It looks like a drama. It's like, looks like they made a drama out of like a Rebel Wilson sketch,
right?
Where they made it really like jarring. I would also like to say though that one of the things that they did with the character that I'm not sure I'm stoked on is they gave him like a hacky suit.
Yeah,
like
is he like a prop comic? I couldn't tell what kind
Kenny
of comic
Bania
he was.
Suit.
He wears a suit that's like, it's got like a tartan on, you know, it's like that kind of a design.
I mean, this play takes place in, I want to say, either Ireland or I don't know
yes.
from accents. So maybe that's just what they wear there.
He's
you know,
like a
when
throw
you,
pillow.
Yeah, you ever see like what a cop is dressed like there, and you're like, really? Like, you know, maybe
yeah,
that's just
like a Halloween
what the comics.
Costume. Yeah.
That's just what comics wear, you know.
Yeah.
Overseas, that's all. Well, let's get to this next one. This is a BET remake of Don't Tell Moms the Babysitter's Dead. This snuck up on me in a pleasant way, where I'm just like, really? All right, let's fucking do it. You know?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, like that. The old one is barely Right. I feel it's, like barely a, in the zeitgeist.
I don't
now.
Right. Like I don't think this is a movie that people think about a lot.
I think no. about it. I think about it a lot.
Well, yeah,
it's, I'm right on top of that rose
kind of a lot.
And in this case, the babysitter is June Squibb, which I was like, hell yeah, why yeah. not? Yeah. Playing like a like vaguely racist babysitter. They really like leaned into like this babysitter is going to suck.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
when she dies, we don't feel
bad. She
fucking
sucks in the original, too. Like,
yeah, she does.
You got to
yeah.
make her suck. So you don't,
brains.
Yeah. You have to not feel bad when she dies.
One of... I this is a weird thing, but like I happen to know Keith Coogan, who among many roles was Kenny from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. He was also in like Adventures in Babysitting and stuff.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
in
he
this
is.
Trailer. They gave him a role in this movie. He's
That's
one
awesome.
Of the boardroom guys. He's the one that goes, whoa, that's the original Dishes Are Done, man.
God. Hell yeah. I mean, they need to honor the original.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
It's it.
Get
this looks
company in there.
Like the other yeah. part, right? Or the guy from Sports Night, who we're gonna see later in this, right?
Mm.
Oh no, he was in the Elizabeth Moss one, right?
I don't know.
You're
about.
Gonna work for us, right? Like everybody.
Oh yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
Works
that
from
guy.
Us. Yep. He's the other guy. He's the corn dog guy from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
I mean, for the record, I haven't seen that original since I was 10. I need to see it again.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's definitely of its 1991-ness.
Yeah.
It is extremely a movie that came out that year.
What was that?
I said it is extremely a movie that came out that year. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're 100% right. This movie, the original, is not untouchable enough.
Right,
like nobody not, should have a problem.
That's what I mean. Where it's
right, it
this
would
is
be
one
like,
that
it'd be like remaking House Arrest or something. Like this is just one of those kind of zany, yeah.
I always think
from the
80s
and 90s that this it even had like the animated opening.
Yeah, can you believe yeah. they're remaking First Kid?
Yeah, yeah. Like
sure this is the stuff
yeah.
that should be remade. Yeah, when yeah. it's like not bad, but like where you're like, yeah, they could take another crack at that.
Sure.
I remember I remember the subplot where the girl has to get a job, and yes. I remember it being like somewhat like not gritty, but I remember watching it as a kid being like, this isn't as fun as I thought it was gonna be. Where it's like they really like thought about this, like, well, so one of them's gonna have to get a job and hold that job.
Right. It's
down.
Much
it's
less Home Alone
problem.
than you yeah. might expect.
And I was like, I thought this would be fucking zanier. I didn't think I was gonna watch someone have to keep a job.
Right, like she gets like a high pressure job in the fashion industry.
Yeah,
yeah, after working at Clown Dog.
Oh, okay.
Where David Duchovny slimes on her.
Oh man, yeah, the part he was born to play.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's perfect.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of slime, should we talk about Humaine?
Yes.
This
looks great.
Fuck. Yeah, this looks great. I'm just like, how many fucking Cronenbergs are we going to have? Like, this is directed by a goddamn Cronenberg, Caitlin Cronenberg.
Another one.
And it's like, yeah, it's like the
they're
Cronenberg
like the
Empire. Yeah, yeah, or the Baldwins. They're just like, I love this idea of their fucked up weird little vampire house and Cronenberg raised these kids of like, you will make fucked up films. Yeah.
How
yes.
much Play-Doh do you think was used to make just the most fucked up shit in those houses?
Yeah, in those houses.
What was Easter yeah. like? Like?
Yeah.
I really want to know, like, what was your Easter like? What were yeah. you finding in the eggs?
Oh, man. This is so the premise is that it is a silly little dystopian future where overpopulation is such a problem that they need to get rid of 20% of the population. And so there is basically a group of people who are through the government just killing people. And it's like there's a volunteer system. I imagine there's a lot of a darker aspect to how they go about this as well, because I imagine not everybody wants to volunteer.
No. You know who does?
And
Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher's
and his
had
rich
it.
Right. It's a rich family, and it's one of the aliens from Galaxy Quest shows up.
He sure does.
Balthazar.
Yeah.
It is Balthazar.
To kill you.
And he's like,
we need
he like,
two buddies. I don't particularly care whose they are.
And basically, Peter Gallagher offs himself, but his wife, the mother, like, disappears, I believe. Like, there was two people who are like, we're going to do it. And they have, like, a last dinner. One of them doesn't do it. And the murder people are like, well, listen, we're not leaving unless we get two bodies. Which is very funny because it all feels like a very silly setup for these group of rich kids.
A lot
basically
of red tape
trying
for this murder.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's a group of rich kids basically trying to kill each other, right? To be like, I'm not going to be the one who dies.
This should be called Knives In.
Yeah. It's a very, I'd say this is a very silly premise that's going to make for a very fun and probably horrific
yeah,
film.
It's going to be Battle Royale for this rich family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, a rich family tearing themselves apart.
Yeah, we love it.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
This is produced by IFC, right?
Probably.
I think I remember this is an IFC film. I was like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah, I love shit like this because it's just basically like, yeah, we know how silly this is. We don't care. We're going to have fun. And I'm excited to see what another Cronenberg can do.
Yeah.
Caitlin Cronenberg doesn't have many credits, so let me see. She's been a photographer, actually, it looks like, up until this point. But she's done one short and something called The Death of David Cronenberg, which it's like the, it was co-directed. It's like a training video. Cronenberg was like, all right, I'll take you under my wing and we'll make a little film starring myself.
That's how they spent their holidays.
Nepo baby.
It's literally, holy shit.
How'd you get the job, Caitlin?
It's literally it's a short film where David Cronenberg is observing his own dead body. So it's the idea of like when he dies. And it's not like it's like just dead in bed. So yeah, that's fucking Cronenberg-ish shit.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Again, I hope she was like 8 when she directed it. I hope it was like, come on, dear, we're gonna do some fun games today.
Happy Easter. Oh, you found dad's corpse.
I just love this little cult that David Cronenberg has created. Who is his wife?
I'm not sure.
Who's the devil? Who's helping him make these things? Oh, yeah, on IMDb, it says the devil right here. Weird.
You didn't know that.
That makes sense. Has she directed stuff? She's directed stuff. I got to watch her stuff now.
What, the devil? Yeah, she did Avatar The Last Airbender, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hey-o, let's move on.
Nothing else to say about Humane?
Looks fun.
No, it looks fun.
Nice to see it.
Yeah, got a little bit of a Ready or Not vibe to it.
It does for sure. I'm
but not shot zanily. Like it's shot in a more.
I think it's a little zany,
but a little more, little gnarlier. It feels like, I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
What's the one where I forget who the actor? It's the where the bride has to get hunted by the family.
Ready or Not.
Ready or Not. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun one. That's the one where Satan gives her the nod.
Yeah. After every. Oh man! What a film!
Yeah. Speaking of what a film, our next one is In a Violent Nature. I'm realizing, all right, I figured out why the title is that now. We covered this on More Hype.
We did.
This is the full trailer now. And if you remember from More Hype, this is a Jason Voorhees slasher that's just from the perspective of the killer walking. It's like a Terrence Malick Presents Friday the 13th, basically.
Yeah, it's, it's a hardcore Henry.
Thin red line,
indeed.
Third
person shooter, not first person. So they went to third person view, and it's just a horror version of that.
And it's like, I love it because they show like the first kill is a redneck, and I'm like, that's exactly like Friday the 13th, where he always kills like the town drunk, or like the weird redneck family.
Yeah, he usually gets some sort of supplies from them, be it a mask or some clothing, sometimes a machete.
A machete.
Yeah. So they're just straight up doing that, but from the point of view of the killer. And I'm realizing In a Violent Nature, there it's a comment on nature, right? The idea is he's might as well be a wolf or a bear. Like, it's nature is violent. He's in a violent nature. Like, they're treating it almost like a nature documentary of this man wandering through the woods, murdering people like a shark.
Yeah.
I think it's a comment on I think the like not it's not there's probably more to it, but the name implies the violence of nature being this thing that just is, you know, like a bear kills you. It's not like an act of hate. It just is.
It feels like the allegory is after the idea of the movie. They were like, oh, well, let's make this movie work. Like from the perspective, we'll figure out what it means. We'll set that up.
I don't know.
And it could also describe the act, right? Like this was, it's of a violent nature. Well, yeah, you know, this in
well, yeah,
violent
I think
nature.
It's a, yeah, it's the a word double. Play
because also all yeah. the bad stuff is happening in nature.
Right. So like I wasn't into the name at first, but now that I'm like deconstructing it, I'm like, all right, I get it. I'm going to have this on a loop in my house. I'm going to get it. I'm going to buy a TV and just like have a USB in there and just have it like a piece of art.
What you put on to meditate.
Yeah, because from what we heard, it's a combination of like these long meditative scenes and then just like brutal murders, apparently. And I'm so excited for this fucking thing. When is it coming out?
I think you said May, right?
Yeah. I saw this one on the big screen last night, this trailer.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so the trailer was before Immaculate, yeah.
No shit. Mm. Super excited. All right. Final trailer, though. I mean, am I rushing?
Oh, man.
I'm not rushing.
No, we're not rushing.
Okay.
We can get to the main event here.
Yeah. This snuck up on me. This pummeled me.
Oh, man.
I don't even remember how I fell into it.
This is confusing, too. Like, the concept of the trailer is confusing.
The Chinese remake of Anaconda, called Anaconda. It is straight up. It looks almost shot for shot. Like I recognize almost all the scenes.
I recognize pretty much every beat from it. I'm like, oh, that's that part. That's that part.
Except
it
looks like a child is getting eaten.
Oh, they've clearly added some stuff. Yeah, they've put their own spice on it.
Yeah, Anaconda. Fucking Anaconda. It looks the Anaconda looks about the same quality as the 1997 one.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought it looked really good.
I mean, I guess it looks fine. It's fine.
The vibe of this trailer, if you've ever online encountered the Japanese manga version of Jaws, has anybody ever read the Jaws Japanese comic online, where it's just bug fucking insane and completely frenetic and chaotic and explosively violent? That's what this trailer is. It really, like you said, it pummels you. It really does. This trailer is out of its mind.
It's an assault, and like it's hard to tell because they're Chinese and English subtitles, but like the subtitles don't seem to match what's happening.
No,
right. Sometimes they step outside of themselves and just like reference, they become meta. Like,
yes,
it's so good. I want to see this like real.
Right away.
So I just learned something very weird. The writer is not from China. The writer is the writer of Snow White and the Huntsman, as well as Divergent, the Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and the Tomb Raider, the new Tomb Raider.
Sure.
Or the last newest one. That's just, that's like, what? How did this, I love this, because he must have, I don't know how this got made, and I want to know. Like, did he write an Anaconda remake, or did China, like, say, we're going to make an Anaconda remake? Let's put out feelers.
Let's get the Ninja Turtles guy.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would have taken much effort to write this, considering that it's just Anaconda again.
Yeah,
I can't. Oh God, what if they got John Voight back?
I mean, he might be in it. We don't know. We haven't seen the film yet.
If it's Chinese, I can go out on a limb and say
that's true.
It would be amazing, though. It would be amazing.
He had to ask. John he Voight. Had to ask his. Photo of Trump that he has on his fucking mantle.
What do you say there, boss? Can I do it?
Sorry, I gotta say no.
My daughter won't talk to me. My daughter Salt won't talk to me.
All right, sorry. I have a new mystery now. I'm really struggling here. I just looked up one of the actors in it. The actor is credited for 2 Anaconda movies coming out in 2024.
That's awesome.
They're both called Anaconda, and they both have completely different crew. But the same cast. Okay, this must be just IMDb being weird.
Yeah, it's
never
a goof up. Yeah.
It's a goof up. Yeah, I can't wait to watch this.
Yeah. We'll probably watch this on a Friday night, I think.
With the original Anaconda back to back.
Oh, what a time we'll have.
Yeah. You guys want to thank some more producers?
Yeah, let's thank some more producers.
Yeah, let's thank some producers.
Big old thank you to David Knife Boot Henson.
Knife Boot.
Thank you to Deborah is awesome, Barbara is great, and Cancer can go to hell. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Dracula, the bus driving vampire.
Thank you.
Thank you to Driftless.
Thanks so much.
God Emperor of Hype. Thanks for watching Lair of the White Worm. Thanks for to Ed Nugg.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to Exploding Runes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Folky J. Mostly comes out at night. Mostly.
Thank you.
Mostly.
Thank you to Heathcliff's Helping Handfuls.
Thank you.
Thank you to Ombre.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to ImpossibleWorlds.net. Issue 3 is out now. Gorge yourself on our fiction gorge.
Thank you. All right, let me swoop in here. Thank you to Jay the Crow Baron says, build a guillotine in rich people's yard 2024.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you to Chris Shanovich.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Lieutenant Frank Drebin, Police Squad.
Thank you.
Thank you to Look Mime on a podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mackenzie Fuck Shuffling with Willem Dafoe's Confusingly Large Dick. Chill.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Thank you to Mercurial Oz.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mike the Lurker.
No.
What? Mike the Helldiver.
Mike the Helldiver.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you to Mongolian Throat Skanking.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mr. Tell Your Wife how many Patreon subscriptions you have before you agree to buy a house.
Thank you.
Thank you to musical guest Henry Garfield.
Thank you. News stories. I got a couple here. Scarlett Johansson talks for Jurassic World. Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
I don't give a shit.
Why not?
I don't care. I haven't cared about Jurassic Park since 1995. These movies, yeah, but they're all bad.
Yeah.
Like, Jurassic Park has coasted on the fumes of one good movie for longer than any other franchise.
Yeah. I
was really trying to think, but yes, that's probably true.
Like,
yeah.
Even Jaws didn't last as long of one good movie.
No, I would argue The Lost World is pretty good too. I would argue
against that.
I was gonna say, like, it's up for debate. I still think it stands. Whether or not you think that movie's good, your statement stands. I was thinking like maybe Planet of the Apes, but I kind of like the new remake, so I'm like, all right, they didn't coast. They're all right.
Yeah,
I think so. I think you're right. I think that's the one.
And I've seen them all several times too. It's not, this isn't one of those things where I'm just like, I stopped watching because they're bad. I'm like, no,
I continue to watch them.
I have some weird amnesia going on in my brain.
So
yeah, I might stop because that last one was pretty bad.
Dominion,
really
I didn't
bad.
See in theaters. I watched that.
Neither did
later
I. Yeah,
it was free.
That's the first Jurassic Park movie that I did not see in theaters.
Yeah, it's wild. This is another, like, I can't believe if I told my 10-year-old self that they'd be like, we're making a brand new Jurassic Park
and Black
I'm not,
Widow's
you're not
going
to see
in
it. Yeah. And you're not going to watch it. You're not going to give a shit. It's so sad. And the fact that they're like Bryce Dallas Howard, like the Chris Pratt, like it's also the fact that they're completely shifting cast.
Yeah. They're rebooting the reboot that they just made. It's
and
so,
like, are they gonna
it's
have
all
them,
so cynical.
It's like Star right. Wars they energy. Gonna, they have a new trilogy coming out.
Right. Are they gonna like bring back Bryce Dallas Howard as like a legacy character of a reboot? Like, what's gonna happen?
Yeah, probably.
It's just so weird and desperate. Remember how in the third one, Alan Grant, all of those characters were dressed exactly like they were dressed in the first movie? They're just like action figures. It's like, what the fuck are we doing?
Oh man, I'm gonna watch that one again.
That third movie is so fucking bad.
It's fucking bad. It is astonishingly bad.
I want to go to like the Universal person and whoever's in charge of this and be like, "What do you think Jurassic Park is?" Like, I want you to tell me.
I mean,
like, I want to hear them say.
But that last one still made over $1 billion.
Yeah,
they're about making money.
Yeah, like, that's what they're pretend. About. This is Jurassic World is the story of people who got together in a boardroom and decided to make money.
That's I mean, the funniest one is Avatar, because
Avatar
the plot of Avatar is to be the biggest movie in the world. Like, that is that is so funny to me, and like every lesson Avatar has in it, it has taken from movies that did it decades previously.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny. Yeah. So like this, and this is a similar thing with Jurassic, with another Jurassic World one, where I'm like, man, if they're still making money, go for it. But I don't expect me to care anymore.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Whatever. They can keep throwing these things out there. I'll get to them eventually.
Yeah. Like, it was like when The Flash came out. I didn't even start watching that movie. I didn't watch that movie until we had to watch it for Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, because I was just, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, these are ones where I'm like, well, you know, that's something for me to take mushrooms and do an airplane trip about. Like, I'll take some mushrooms and I'll have an airplane trip eventually. Right, I'll watch the new Jurassic World.
Yeah,
like, that's...
to be clear, I'm never going to be angry about a new dinosaur movie in the theater. It's just, how urgent is it for me to run out and see this? And I'll wait for these movies to come to me at this point.
The response is like, huh.
I'm angry that it works. Like, that's the thing that makes me angry is I remember, like, watching that first one and walking out, and like part of the reason I walked out of that first one is because the audience was loving it, and I was like, do you guys remember the first Jurassic Park? Like, what is happening? Like, it offended me that people were like just gobbling up that shit, and it was like, it was so pandering and bad that it was just like it offends me that it's so successful. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, I'm less mad at a movie like Madame Web, where it's like, this movie's a disaster, and then it also flopped. And it's like, that's the world working. You know, like, it bugs me out when, like...
Universal needs that Sony curse.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes, I agree. Universal needs to be told, like, you need to stop. This is bad.
Sony should be installing spies in Universal to be like, how come they can get away with it and we can't?
Exactly.
We're taking we're doing the exact same thing that they did.
Yeah.
But we're like, dinosaurs aren't as good as Spider-Man. What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's because they're not making Spider-Man movies.
That's true. They're making movies. It's like
making movies about
Morbius
and Madame Web.
They're all Spider-Man
adjacent.
Right.
It's about making a. It's like making a movie about fucking Dennis Nedry, right? Like with no dinosaurs.
I would watch that.
Sounds like I would watch National Lampoon Dennis Nedry.
Nedry Origins.
In college. Yeah. Oh my God, are you fucking kidding me?
We get to see him get fucking stiffed by John Hammond and decide to rip him off.
Yeah, that's...
Holy shit.
Jurassic Park is Nedry's falling down.
Yes.
Like, that's really what... It is. Like, that's him just snapping.
Yeah, and most of us, when we say, like, fuck you, I quit at work, we don't get to release dinosaurs.
Most of us don't get blinded and eaten either.
Yeah. Margot Robbie is producing a Sims movie. I know exactly what this is going to be, but what I hope it is a movie about a family who goes to school and goes to work and eats dinner, and maybe, like, a stove fire happens, they put it out, and then the movie ends. Like, I just want it to be a Sims run. But this is going to be like Lego movie, right? I assume. Or Barbie.
It might be a little more, if it's Sims, it might be more teen focused. So it might have more of a, like, trapped in a bottle energy, where they like Matrix. I just realized that we are not a real family.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that it'll be a bunch of people realizing that they don't have free will. And that's actually kind of an amazing idea for a movie. Like, realizing, I hope it's like, you know what? Give it to a Cronenberg. Let's give this to a Cronenberg.
Yeah. There's probably a free Stars one right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you could make a gnarly Sims
think this,
movie.
Right, because the games are pretty weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody said
they,
like,
add all sorts of shit. There's vampires in it.
There isn't a scene where somebody's swimming and then the ladder is removed from the pool while
they're
swimming in circles while everybody's grilling burgers right next to them.
Right, because, like, if they did a Sim, because in a way, like, Skinamarink is a Sims movie, right? Because people walk into rooms and then the doors disappear.
Right. Yeah, it is. My worry is that we're just going to do Barbie and Lego, because we know the format right now. Like, first 15 minutes, it's going to be like, welcome to Sims World. Everything's all right. Maybe we'll sing and dance, you know, we'll live our life. And then one character isn't happy with it suddenly, and they have to go outside their boundaries and explore, and they're going to learn that they're a Sim. And it's like, we've done it a few times now that I'm like, the format hasn't... stopped working. I really liked Barbie. I really liked the Lego movie. But I don't know. I don't know what else this could be. Like, I don't know.
Maybe SimCity, and then it should just be a normal day, and then a giant Gila monster comes out of the water and attacks.
Yeah.
Godzilla is, in of itself, a Sims movie, if you think about it like that.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's true. And same with any alien movie. I frequently do. I'm sitting there in the theater, and I'll be like, this is like a Sims movie.
Yeah. I hope when the characters are upset, they just wave their hands in the air and stare up at the sky.
Ba-ba-za-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah. Did you guys play The Herbs?
No.
No one played The Herbs. That's the best Sims game. The Herbs is the best Sims game. Nobody played it. It's The Sims, but it's, well, urban. And you start in... there's levels. So there's like 8 levels, and they all represent different types of societies. Like there's a subway punk scene. There's like all the way to like a fancy high society. And the idea is that you have to fit into each area in order to like beat it. So you have to be like a social chameleon. And so it's like you have to be everything from a gutter bunk. Yeah. Like a gutter punk to a hippie to like a fancy high society person. And you have your apartment that you're slowly building up. It was great. They need to make a new Herbs. It was a blast.
Yeah, that sounds pretty chill.
Terrible.
wait, is it terrible or good?
It's awful. You both.
It's great.
It's definitely one of them.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, the movie's going to be fine. Like, here's the thing, though. You have to wait until you see the movie before you can be like, this is going to be bad. Like, yeah, all the people that were like, all the pundits that like are on like Twitter or whatever that are just like, oh my God, this is such a cash grab. Couple things. One, every studio movie is a cash grab. Two, like, all you need is a good script and good performances.
Right.
Any movie can be good. That's like Paddington did a great job of reminding everybody that it doesn't matter what you're bringing to the table of like what you know about the property. It's all about how the stuff is being delivered.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. But also, like, I'm just like nervous because like I remember that thought of the Lego movie and then they did something meta and cool. But now it feels like they realize that if they're meta, they can do anything, right? Any property.
It's a bit like the multiverse thing where it's like, oh, we can have our cake and eat it too now.
Right. As long as we can make a movie about anything, Operation. We can make an Operation movie if it's a meta movie about all the pieces realizing they're in a game or so. So like,
but they can
that's
also
what I'm...
do Battleship, which obviously flopped, but like you can do that too.
But that's the thing, is it flopped, and like, and how do you do that with The Sims, right? You can't really do that with The Sims.
You could.
You're right that there's crazy shit in The Sims, but there's no story.
This seems like a movie Jason Sudeikis would be in, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's what I want, but it's still going to be meta, right? It's got to be meta.
It would be great if it was like Jason Sudeikis and Kristen Wiig.
That would be fantastic.
As like the couple.
I'm just hoping they think
you
of a
could
new
do,
angle.
I don't know. Yeah, like you could do like a cool, weird, like Stepford Wives version of this. We're kind of getting slowly like realizing what's going on or something like, I don't know. There, you could
do a horror.
Maybe.
I just think they need a new game, right? They need a new game to play with these properties. Otherwise, I think that's going to get stale soon.
We also
this
need
is
to
all
remind...
speculation too. Like we have no idea what this movie is going
to
be.
It's important to remember too that while movies are good, toy sales are better. Like it's not that Transformers made this much money at the box office. That is a small drop in the bucket compared to how much money Transformers can make at the toy store, and that. So when you look at it like with The Sims, like, yeah, they could do a Stepford Wives things, but they can't go too dark because The Sims is one of those things where we're going to try to reboot this game. We want kids to play this game. So we have
right.
To.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
As opposed to like Ouija, you know, like they did a Ouija board thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Origin of Evil.
Yeah. And it's like, that is just like, all right, well, we can, you know, that's always been like dark and occult.
Right.
Or, you know, if you were doing like a Settlers of Catan movie or something like that, like, you know,
a brutal, like gritty ass period.
sheep.
Settlers of Catan.
I just like, I'm still kind of lost on how they could do this in a way that's fresh if it's not a meta thing.
I don't know.
And I hope they're up to, I hope they can figure something out.
I mean,
and even if it's a meta one, that still doesn't mean it's bad. It just mean it's just still like the clock is ticking on that idea.
Yeah.
On the let's do the meta version of a game or a doll or a toy.
What if it's What if it's just a cube movie?
That would be awesome.
Cube Sims.
Cube Sims.
They get acid.
They should make a Sims cube. Yeah,
it would be sweet.
You build little traps for them and watch them go through it. I mean, I have done that. My favorite thing to do in the Sims.
Yeah, everybody has that's played Sims.
I did a maze where I'd build a maze and I'd have one side of the maze a toilet and the other side an espresso machine. And I just kept having them have the coffee and then seeing if they could make their way to the toilet before they pissed themselves. It was fun.
You're a monster, Dave.
I want to play
the There's got to be, like, the real thing would be somebody doing that and then the characters coming to life after being tortured by the people that were playing the game.
That'd be good.
And then you have to answer for all the shit that you've done.
Yeah.
Ending a Toy Story kind of vibes.
Did you ever make a haunted house? Because you can, so ghosts come back, right?
You're the only one that played The Sims in this.
Really? Podcast. Tom, you didn't play The Sims?
No.
Oh, so you can make a haunt. So when your Sim dies, they leave a gravestone that you can click and move. So I wanted to make a haunted mansion. So the way you make a haunted mansion is you need a lot of graves. So all you do is you get an empty lot, plop your Sims in there, and just hit fast forward until they die. And then you just keep murdering families of Sims until you have like 50 gravestones. So you have to do like a little massacre, but it makes for a good little haunted house because then all their ghosts are floating around. You just have to, like, you know, starve them to death. Doesn't
sure.
take long.
Yeah.
They beg, but it's in fast forward. So.
Yeah, and it's in like Peanuts adult speech too, so it's meaningless.
Exactly.
Doesn't
yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's completely ineffectual on my heart. It remains
exactly.
unmoved.
I feel nothing.
No, I feel nothing.
For these ghouls.
For these so Sims and their simple, small lives.
Your tiny simulated lives.
You guys want to thank some more producers?
I would love to.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's
do it. Right. Big old thank you to No One Can Hear You Scream in Space, McNulty.
Thank you.
Thank you to Norm from Cheers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Pete for Pagel.
Thank you.
Thank you to Numenal Ultra Microscopic Silico Volcano Coniosis Anti-Disestablishmentarianism Jones.
Thank you.
Thank you to pre-order Jason Parge's new book so he can keep making big feats.
Thank you.
Thank you to Psychic Bigfoot.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Rev MD.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Ricky Cilantro.
Thank you.
Thank you to Rosemary's Baby from Eraserhead.
That's the one.
Thank you to Screaming Horse Pyramid.
Thank you.
Thank you to Sorry Cop, World's Most Laughable Centrist.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Steven.
Thank you.
Thank you to the conveniently placed self-destruct button on the top of every baby's head. Thank you.
Oh, man. Psychic Bigfoot. Formidable opponent. All right, let me swoop in here. Thank you to the ghost of Dave Thomas.
Thank you.
Thank you to the Midnight Patron. What patrons at midnight?
Thank you.
Thank you to the Oatmeal Savage.
Thank you.
Thank you to the 2B Terror Bunny says, the strikes may be over, but egg David Zaslav for fun and profit.
Thank you.
It's Bob Iger over on my show.
Nice.
Thank you to these 7 bees.
Thank you.
Thank you to Tiger Drawers Pratt Thompson. Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Thank you.
Thank you to Tip Drizzle.
Tip Drizzle.
Thank you to Tux.
Tux.
Thank you to Vincent.
Vincent.
Thank you to Why Didn't You Take a Flying Fuck at the Moon?
Thank you.
Thank you to Yorgos from the island of Crete.
Sure.
Thank you to your mom.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Dave.
Man, I smell. I can smell myself.
How?
I'm really smelling.
What does it smell like? What does it smell like?
It's not good.
Not a good smell.
Huh? I think it's my feet. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think I need to wash these slippers.
Probably.
Very smelly.
Probably. If you're wondering if you need to wash your slippers, the answer is always yes.
Yeah, the answer is yeah. Like that, yeah, that. Do you want to go ahead and do that?
Yeah, it's like, should I wash my underpants? Probably.
Yes.
Dave, speaking of washing your underpants.
I smell terrible.
Do you happen to have a movie that deserves more hype?
Yeah, I do. I do. I do. I smell terrible, and I
do. Don't be so mopey about it, you gloomy Gus.
I'm sorry.
It deserves hype.
It does, and I'm hyped about this one. This is called The King Tide. Not King's Tide, the King Tide.
Or Catan the movie.
Yeah, it's a Canadian. It's coming out April 26th in Canada. I assume it'll come out other places as well. But if you're in a Canada, then April 26th is the day for you. It's about an island community on the east coast of Canada that they find a baby. They find an Aquaman. They find a baby in a boat, I believe, in the ocean.
In like a shipwreck.
It's like a wreckage, yeah.
And she grows up and she brings them lots of good fortune. She can like just practically make the fish hop in the nets. She can like control animals. She can heal the sick. As a little girl, yeah, she's Jesus. She's a little Jesus. And as a little girl, her powers suddenly stop. In this, like, it's the idea is, of course, the allied community kind of coveted her, and so they have no outsiders. They have everything they need there. It's the kind of movie, honestly, that you would do from the perspective of a cop or like a outsider coming in. Like, it's kind of a reverse, like, Wicker Man in a way, Community. And now that she's stopped her powers, though, it becomes this like free for all where it's like, who does she belong to? Is she the parents who raised her?
Yeah.
Is she the towns? And it seems like it's going to get really fucking dark really fast as this town kind of fights over this little girl and her lack of powers. It's sort of about like what really I assume about what faith does to people, or like what, you know, the dark version of faith is, or the dangers of you know, worshiping, like, in exchange for like stuff, like the idea of like a conditional worship, right? Is they kind of worship this girl as long as she gives them the things they want. What'd you guys think of this?
Man, I thought this looked really good. I like that it's a dark. I think they even say it in there, but like a fairy tale, like it's a weird. I don't know.
It's interesting that they clearly have built their community's well-being around a magic child, and when the magic is gone, they have lost the ability to exist, and it causes them to lose their minds. And that is fascinating to me, like the idea that you basically existed on a talisman,
right?
And
you had a little cult going.
Yeah, it feels like a fairy tale or like a parable.
It looks really good. Like it looks like it doesn't look like an indie film either.
No,
where I'm like, why isn't this getting more hype? I guess maybe because it's Canadian. You know, we don't take kindly.
It's got Francis Farmer in there. We were talking about Unforgiven earlier,
right? I don't know. It looks really good.
Yeah,
I was checking trailers everywhere because every now and then there's a trailer that's like has millions of views in the trailer that's the country it's from. Like, and that's not the case here. It's like vaguely spooky. I'm guessing they don't explain why she's Aquaman or a mermaid or whatever, but that's not the point.
I mean,
or maybe they do. I don't know.
Who knows? I guess we'll have to see the film to find out, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Seems like it.
Yeah,
that's always the rub. They want you to watch the movie.
I know.
Why can't we just have opinions on the movie and share them on social media without ever watching them? Why can't we say that this wasn't necessary and nobody needed this movie, as if anybody has ever needed any movie ever?
I've needed a few of them.
Yeah,
the cowboy way was there for me during some dark times.
Yeah, Money Train was big for me too.
Of course, who could forget where they were the first time they saw Money Train?
Yeah, but yeah, the King Tide. Google it. Give it a bing and like see the trailer at least.
You know who else appears on the King Tide? Aquaman.
That's what I said. It's an Aquaman.
No, but I know we make that reference, but literally in Zack Snyder's Justice League, he's like, you always appear on the King Tide. That movie was bad, and people thought it was good.
Did you ever watch the sequel?
No, I haven't seen the new one. I haven't seen the new Aquaman.
Nope.
It's there.
Yeah, it's right there waiting for me to watch it, and I just don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm in the same where I'm like, I mean, is it on Max yet?
Yes. It very much
it is.
Remember when people were like bringing up superhero fatigue in like 2019 and everyone got offended? Nerds love getting offended by stuff and they need to have a reason. It's like when Scorsese's like, yeah, that's not cinema. And everyone's clutched their pearls about it. I'm like, yeah, he's right. So what?
Yeah, who cares?
Like, yeah, you can
nerds
still like
are winning.
It.
And then we brought up superhero fatigue and everyone's like, that's not a real thing. And now I'm sitting here, like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'll get there eventually, maybe.
I've seen so many. Yeah, there were posts about like Cracked was wrong about this, and like Cracked did like call it way early, but what like it was also just like saying there's going to be fatigue.
Yeah,
and it's not like that's not a bold prediction.
No,
it's
that's
like
everything.
Flooding
that is
the market.
Literally everything. It's trend, trends in movies are cyclical. It's always happened.
I'm really
and people
hoping
who make money, they're just going to keep doing it until it stops making money.
I just want to see the mid-budget comedy come back.
Yeah,
that's all I want.
I want freaky
the adult thrillers.
I want like freaky deaky 70s things. I want like weird ass 70s things.
Uh-huh.
Like
A24 and bringing it for you.
Oh yeah, I guess that'll do it. I want like embarrassing though. I want like or not even embarrassing. I want more like Knight Riders, the Ed Harris movie. I want more of that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I want more of we took cocaine and LSD and then we apparently made a movie.
Yeah, like
and this
low
is a
res film. Like and by low res, not like the quality of the resolution itself, but like the energy of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I mean, to be
barely
fair, like,
edited.
To be fair, like when you look at Grindhouse and like being an homage to that, and it's like, oh, that didn't do as well as we'd hoped. Like there are definitely attempts to recapture that energy.
Yeah. The problem is it has to be genuine. Like to actually do acid in the jungle, damn it. Otherwise, it's not going to look good.
There's like a point of no return with CGI that I think we've lost a lot of the practice. Although apparently the new Aliens
project
coming out is like, they said there's going to be a lot of practical.
Yeah. And I actually believe it. Unlike like the Jurassic World, so much practical.
We made Triceratops head.
Yeah. We made half of a Triceratops head, and now we're going to take victory lap after victory lap about it.
But listen, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about the new Alien project in the upcoming weeks and months. But for now, that's a sewed. We've done it.
Ooh, yeah. Nice tight 140.
Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show.
Glad to be here, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Tom, I never get to talk to you, so this is actually really nice that we have an opportunity to do that.
It's
nice to see, hear you guys in a podcast together.
It's funny that I live a stone's throw from Dave, and Tom is the one that I talk to every week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, physical reality doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well live 100 million miles from me.
I live in this Zoom box right here.
Right.
Exactly. As far as I'm concerned, yes, that's where you all live.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure I could scream out the window and you'd hear it. We should try that at some point.
Jeff, do you want to hit your plugs again, or where can people find you?
At Hey There Jeff Rowe on social media is the best way to get it. That's also my YouTube. You can check that out. But again, I do lots of really great shows like Jeff Has Cool Friends, Nerd, and Ugh Fine, which you can get over at patreon.com/JeffMay. Also, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman on the Gamefully Unemployed Patreon. Check that out. And then everything I do with Adam Todd Brown. Like, you don't even like sports. You don't even like this show. You don't even like sports live. Watch me open packs of trading cards on YouTube. Come see me live the second Friday of every month.
Do it. We have a Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. GAMEFULOY. Unemployed. We have exclusive podcasts such as the Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, but also Fox Mulder's Maniac, Star Trek The Next Futurama, Spiel Boys, and we watch movies every Friday night with our patrons. Movies like, I don't know, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. We'll probably throw that on.
Oh, no. Yeah, why not? Why not, Aquaman? We also have a store. Head over to GameFlyUnemployed.com where you can find a link to our Teespring store. We have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs you can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. So slap your aqua peepers onto that.
Yeah, your fishy peeps.
Ah, man, peeps.
That's my fishy peeps.
That's what smells, Dave.
Yeah, no, it's my peeps. Slippers.
Oh, yeah, and the slippies. All right, say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. Find him on Twitter at TheCorlew or go to shipwrecksailor.bandcamp.com. Our channel artwork is by Michael Vincent Bramley. For more of his work, go to mvbramley.art. Episode artwork is by Justin Brown. Available on Twitter as @JustinTBrown or at artnessbyjustinbrown.com. And finally, additional artwork by Starlene Hodge. You can find her work at starlenearts.com or Twitter @StarleneX. Goodbye now.